Make May your month for big cash winnings at your neighborhood Washington Gold Casino. Stop by the Silver Dollar Casinos in SeaTac, Renton, and Mill Creek and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
This hour of Brock and Salk is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Good morning. Hope you're having a good day. We're here on 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. We'll get back to some of your thoughts on Ichiro here in about 10 minutes. So if you want to get on the horn and want to be heard, 206-421-3776 is the number. Big series for the Mariners starts tonight as they'll see the Angels for the first time for a three-gamer. And, I was there last night. It was not a ton of people there last night, but by all accounts, the energy should be pretty good over the weekend. I think they're expecting close to 40,000 all three of the games
this weekend.
So,
nice.
Not a bad time to get out to the park, support the team. They're playing some good ball, and in the meantime, you can snag a Hans Segoe bobblehead tonight while you're there.
Me and the family getting there early. Molly getting the night off.
So you're going there with everybody.
Me and the three kiddos.
Wow.
Yeah, Haley, Macy, Titus, myself.
Okay.
I'm very curious if the 30. I understand there's 30 Star Wars characters are going to be roaming around Safeco Field. Who would be the one you'd most want to see?
John Clayton.
John.
Is he one of the characters?
No.
Oh.
Actually, no. Actually, he's not.
30 characters? I could not name 30 characters
Star Wars. I'd have no chance.
But I could name more than, none, which is what Clayton came up with this morning. In this week, we have learned that John Clayton doesn't know what Star Wars is and doesn't know what a burrito is. It's been a really strange week.
Right, all right. He's focused in.
Let's talk about the story nationally here in Seattle. It's not just the Ichiro one. It's the guy that they drafted on Saturday, and that's Shaquem Griffin, and everything that he brings to the table from both the story perspective and then hopefully on the field as well. It's why we're excited to talk to Scott Frost, now at Nebraska as the head coach there, but of course was at Central Florida last year with Shaquem Griffin. Coach, thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Happy to be on. Appreciate it.
So Brock told us the story of how you guys ran into each other down in Phoenix the other day, and you were pretty adamant that this is not just a good story, this is a good player. Tell us a little bit about the difference between Shaquem Griffin, the story, the narrative, and Shaquem Griffin, the football player.
Oh, that's a good question.
We broke Scott Frost.
Oh, there you go. Do we have you, Coach?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. Right. Gotcha.
You guys, watching Star Wars and having a burrito, or what?
Yes, pretty much. Phone line went down. The story versus the player. Do you get tired of hearing just the story, Scott, and just the national headline and the narrative and the story, and not knowing what you know as the football player?
Yeah, watching this, I've had a lot of interest in it because I respect Shaquem so much and care about him so much. But as this story's kind of evolved, it's been painted so much as a feel-good story, and he's been painted in a light that he's a football player with a handicap. And while I think the story is good that somebody like that can manage to be drafted in the NFL, I think it's easy for people to forget how good a player he is. And I honestly believe a lot of teams took him off their draft board because of that, and I think they'll regret that in the long run because he's not just a feel-good story. The kid can play football, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people with how well he performs in the NFL.
Coach, you inherited him. You didn't scout him and bring him. You didn't recruit him to Central Florida. You inherited him. What was your first impression? How did he convince you to let him out there as an every-down player?
Well, first and foremost, when you see him move athletically, he's an absolute freak athlete. Now, you're talking about a kid that was a 4'10" long jumper in high school. That mark actually impressed me because that's the Nebraska State high school record that's held by Gale Sayers. So that's the kind of athlete that he is. Watching him move around and run around, it was absolutely easy to pick him out as one of the elite athletes on our football team. We weren't sure how much having one hand would hold him back. And the one thing I'll say is, you're talking about the fastest linebacker ever to go to the combine, and there's more than one way to beat blocks. You either beat blocks with power or you beat blocks with speed. And we couldn't touch him when we tried to block him because he's learned to adapt and get around people and use his quickness and his speed to defeat blocks and make tackles. And shoot, he was the best player on the football field for most of the games that we played this year.
if we had hung out a little bit, and Scott Frost with us now at Nebraska, but Shaquem's coach at Central Florida, had we hung out, Scott, on Thursday or maybe Friday and said, hey, man, where's Shaquem going to get drafted? Where do you think he's ultimately, because all these guys are calling you as well, and they're digging into his story. Ultimately, what round did you think Shaquem was going to end up going in?
You know, I think if you were to put a gun to my head, I would have said fourth. I think some teams probably had him a little higher, but I think there was enough teams that completely took him off their draft board that, you know, it's all a supply and demand thing. And if certain teams thought he was a second or third rounder but didn't think they'd that he'd be off the board until the fourth or fifth, then, you know, that moves him down. I was hearing third, fourth, maybe fifth, and I kind of thought it would be a fourth-round deal. But I know that he's really thrilled to be up there. I think he likes that organization. His brothers excelled up there, and he's excited to be back around Shaquem. So I don't think it could have happened any better for Shaquem.
Yeah, I think this organization up here, and it's where we're sitting today, Coach, and in fact, Pete Carroll's going to be with us in a little over an hour to talk through some of this as well. I think they had some inside avenues, some inside research. I think they knew that player, and they certainly knew his twin better than anybody else. Did they reach out to you in the process at all, though? Did you ever talk to anybody from Seattle over the last few months?
Yeah, several of their scouts have been down. I haven't talked to Pete, but we have a pretty good relationship with several of the guys that work in the scouting office and front office up there. And I got a ton of respect and admiration for what they've done. And I'm happy for Shaquem because aside from being by his brother, I think they're with a group that knows how to coach defense. They're going to get the most out of everybody and might be able to think out of the box for ways to get Shaquem on the field to do the things that he's able to do well.
Do you have a story about him that you like to tell, something he did in practice, something he did in a game, something he said, something that just really defines who he is?
Yeah, a bunch of scouts came into UCF, and they would ask me about him, do you think he can play? And I would always pull up one play from practice. He tried to throw a screen. He was on the field to the offense's left, and he came off the edge, and we tried to throw a screen his way, and he got in there so fast that our quarterback couldn't throw it, and he pump faked him and ran clear over to the right sideline, and Shaquem jumped up in the air, then chased him way over there. The quarterback threw it back across the field, kind of a lateral to the other sideline, and Shaquem took off from one sideline, ran clear back to the other sideline, avoiding people as he went, finally caught the guy about 30 yards downfield and stripped him. And I've never seen a player in practice have a play with where he was that full speed for that long with that much effort. And it isn't like that's unique for him. That's just the way he goes. I mean, he's absolutely flat out, all gas, no brakes, all the time. And it's going to be hard to keep a guy like that off the field.
Where then ultimately, Scott, do you think he fits here? Right, you played in the league. You transitioned from quarterback to safety in the NFL around some of the best minds and creative minds for you that I know you and I have chatted. It's paid dividends in your coaching career, and you got some good creative minds and open minds in Seattle. Where do you think he fits defensively? As you're watching maybe on a Sunday next year and they're in primetime, what, Salk, four or five times next season. So maybe there's a Sunday night or a Monday night in Lincoln that you get to watch him. Where do you think the Seahawks are going to utilize him?
You know, I don't want to speak for them, but I think in that defense he'd be an ideal guy as a roll down safety on first and second down, coming down into the box and being the eighth hat that can finish off tackles and run and pursue. That allow him to drop into zones that he does really well, maybe cover tight ends man to man, and he's really good at all those things. And then on third down, you know, you're talking about a guy that has elite pass rush skills at 230 pounds that runs a 4.38. You know, we got in the Auburn game and had him coming off the edge against a really good offensive line, and he dominated that game. So I have no doubt that he can make plays coming off the edge of the next level, and I think he's with the right guys that are going to recognize that versatility and find ways to utilize him.
Last thing for you, Coach, and we really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk about this. Is, you know, just I understand that you love him, the football player, and what he did for you on the field, but the hand thing is still part of this great story. And it's interesting, Brock and I had some conversations about this a week earlier, because I hurt my hand when I was 12 years old and basically lost most of the use of my left hand, and had watched Jim Abbott, who helped me try to get back into playing baseball again, just watching him. And then we had Abbott talking about Shaquem. There's obviously going to be a lot of interest in him and his story. How will he handle that? How will he handle being such a focal point, not just nationally, but internationally?
I think he's going to love it. I think he's going to embrace it. He's going to get a lot of attention, particularly when he succeeds to the level that I expect him to. All the things that I've been raving about Shaquem about, he's absolutely just a wonderful person to be around, because he has such a fun personality. The whole team down at UCF loved him. He brings energy. He's the type of guy you can't help but smile when he's around. And I think you can see that when you watch his interviews and everything. He's going to be a real good ambassador for whatever organization he's with. And he's going to get a lot of attention. That's going to bring some visibility to the Seahawks, and he's going to handle it the right way. And he's the type of guy you want on your team and in your locker room.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks thanks for all the info and the background, and good luck at Nebraska this year and beyond. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, there you go. There's Scott Frost, head coach at Nebraska, but, of course, with Central Florida last year. He joined us there in the Venue Kings hotline, Brock. What did he say, all gas, no brakes? All gas, no brakes.
Three quick takeaways for me, because I know you want to get back to the
all gas, no brakes.
You're going to hear that on a broadcast next year.
I
will probably steal that and use that for a player somewhere.
Sounds right.
Number two, 24-foot long jumper. Through all of my research.
No. Gale Sayers. Not just 24 feet, tied Gale Sayers.
Yeah, that was state record in Nebraska.
Look, young kids don't know about anything that happened. Howdy doesn't know anything that happened before he was 15 years old. Music from the 90s doesn't count. any player who played before him doesn't mean anything. I didn't get a chance to see Gale Sayers. We are not old enough to have watched him. But anytime you get an opportunity to see Gale Sayers highlights, they're the best highlights the NFL has. I mean, Barry Sanders, you could take Barry Sanders, I'll take Gale Sayers.
Wow.
In terms of just raw highlight,
okay.
They're insane.
Okay.
He's, I think, as good an athlete as ever played
Ray
in the
Roberts
NFL.
Losing his mind wherever
care.
He's at
I'm
right
just saying
now.
From what I've seen highlight-wise, and I get to see him every down. I'm not old enough, but the highlights are insane.
He was nuts.
And as a running back. To broad jump the same as him, to long jump the
Have
same
you
as Gale
tried
Sayers?
The long jump?
Yeah, I could jump like 4 feet. I mean, I could beat Condota, and that's about the end of that.
Long jumping does show your level of athleticism or your lack thereof.
I would think so.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying that's any human. I have a hard time, you know, watching my own running form or other people running form. But then you got to like sprint, and then you got to transition to jumping. It really is a picture of athleticism or the lack thereof. And then ultimately, heck, I'm going to ask Pete the question that we asked Coach right there about being an early down safety. Now the challenge.
Here's what I want to know: why don't they use him as a running back? Hand him the ball and let him jump for a first down. 24 feet is 8 yards, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, it's 3rd and 8. Give the ball to Shaquem and let him jump for the first down. What's the problem? Forget passing. Just hand him the ball and let him jump.
It's like I once said, all gas, no brakes.
Yeah. But the problem is not the CFL. Like, he doesn't make it here, the CFL, where he can get a running start, right? And you could start 15 yards back and get him sprinting to that long jumping full speed, and then quick toss it and watch him just jump 8 yards. And that'd be something. That would be something.
And there goes Shaquem. He has leaped 8 yards for a first down.
I think the last thing there, and just from a kind of football standpoint, and we will transition back to Ichiro, you know, the hard part in a pro style system versus college. College plays a lot of what they call quarters coverage. Some NFL teams do, but they've kind of gone away from some of that, where you can truly have like an early down safety, where you're going to come down if you know a team's going to run it or whatever. But so many of these teams just don't get into that. It's why you've seen the Seahawks with their D-line. Remember early on, like with Red Bryant, they had that like huge like run group, right? On early downs, like you're not running the ball against this group. Well, what do teams do? They just started to check it down. They started to pass on early downs. So I think a little bit more formulaic, collegiately, where yeah, you can on early downs do this and then do that. The NFL has become, you know, so versatile and so varied in their downs and distances. It's kind of hard to do that.
I don't have this highlight reel thing in my head. Like, who are the best highlight reels in NFL history? I mean, you could put some really good ones. We got a texter here saying, "Hey, I hate to say it, but it might have actually been OJ in terms of highlight reels." You got him, Marcus Allen is sort of somebody saying a less fluid version of Gale Sayers. I'd say that's true.
Yep.
Bo Jackson highlight reel, Marshawn Lynch highlight reel. We've seen Lawrence Taylor highlight reels; they're insane.
Randy Moss's
highlight reel, where he's just mossing everybody.
Yeah.
What does a highlight reel look like for Russell Wilson's? I mean, just the highlight reel where you're taking 10 or 15 great plays, spinoramas, and everything else he does. That's a hard question. You can get one highlight reel in NFL history. What do you want to watch?
Can you write that down for Pete, by the way? Pete will like that.
Who's
one.
Highlight reel?
I got a
reel.
Football 101.
What would you take?
That's your football 101 for Pete.
Who would you take? You get one highlight reel in NFL history. Who's highlight reel?
Well, I would want somebody that's done it a long time so you can have a deep volume of them. That's the challenge with Gale, is you don't have 10 or 15 years.
Just hurt.
Like Barry, you've got, you know, some longevity.
Marshawn. Danny O'Neill was watching the Marshawn highlight reel the other day. In the office?
Yeah.
Dude, they're insane.
That's pretty
good. He's just
trucking
everybody. Earl Campbell. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's so many. People saying Jerry Rice. I don't think that's a very good highlight reel. Man, Jerry Rice catching a ball over the middle. Boring highlight reel.
He ran by a lot of people.
Boring highlight reel. Compared to those others, I'm not saying he's not the greatest.
Yeah.
Just boring highlight reel.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah, I'd probably go Barry. Barry was just a joy. He was just
Deion Sanders highlight reel?
Man.
That's pretty good. How about who was the human joystick? What was that guy's name?
Dante Hall.
Wait, was he also the X Factor?
He may have been.
Was he both the X Factor and the human joystick?
Could have been.
You can't take that.
I don't know. Could have been.
All right.
There's about five different transitions
Walter
to each
Payton?
Row if you want to get there.
Walter Payton's highlight reel?
Whoa.
Because I've seen that one. That one's on that NFL Crunch Course VHS.
It's kind of a combo of all of
these
things.
That's right, because he drills people at the line of scrimmage, runs them over, he jumps over the pile, and he has sick moves.
Yes.
Yeah, that might actually be the winner.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to go with that, because Barry doesn't hit anybody, right? Yeah, it's Walter Payton. Yeah, I think... Oh, Michael Vick. God, keep doing this for a while. Good text coming in.
How good was Scott Frost, by the way?
He was good.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. I'm glad he finally answered his phone.
Yep. And if you're from his perspective, just to pay this off before, we do have to get to Ichiro, you know, from his perspective, he just does not want lost what will be the easy. Mm-hmm. You know, the low-hanging fruit is just an amazing story, and wow, look at this player with the handy. He does not want any of that. Does not want any of it. Judge Shaquem, like Jim Abbott, wanted to do as a baseball player. Judge Shaquem as a football player, and I think you're going to see he's pretty unique.
Yeah. All right. So let's spend a few more minutes here on the move yesterday. Mariners make the decision on Ichiro finally to move him out of the roster. They needed a reliever. Ichiro is done as a player for 2018. He may play in a game or two at the beginning of next year. We'll wait and see. But for all intents and purposes, Ichiro done as a player. And rather than retiring and rather than DFAing him, he transitions into a role in their front office as a special assistant to the chairman. And essentially what he's going to do is do everything except play. He'll be out there for stretch. He'll be around the team. He'll travel with those guys. He'll do all of the off-field stuff he's been doing and has been applauded for so far this year without actually playing in the game. And I like this cut again from Jerry DePoto, cut 5, as he was on with Danny Dave-Amore yesterday for his regular Jerry DePoto show. And the image of Ichiro and playing the role of the mentor on the team plane, I don't know, it kind of crystallized this whole thing for me.
I've watched. We've obviously been playing only a handful of weeks, month and a half. But our first couple of trips, when you see Ichiro take his seat on the plane and he's sitting next to D. Gordon and Mitch Haniger swings his legs around from across the aisle and immediately engages, and the guy sitting in front of him leans over the seat and starts the into the conversation. And Ichiro, I don't want to say he's holding court, but those players are trained on what he's thinking or what he's talking about in that moment, whether it's just the casual conversation or his recall of past encounters on a baseball field, the way he prepares, his regimen. He fascinates most players because of how disciplined he is in his preparation. And, you know, that exposure to greatness is truly invaluable to a team.
And I get and understand all of that. And I'm not down on this. I'm really not. I get, you know, the more that we talk through this, there really is very little downside. That is what they accomplished yesterday, right? For any of us wondering what the end game would be and what it would look like, you know, I can talk through this and we can go back and forth, and we have for a few hours, Mike, and you and I last night before the show. And you're right. There's very little downside of this. But I just, it just feel there's a slight part of me, or you know what, there's a whole large part of dynamics that I get into conversations with friends. It's, can we just let go of the past? You know, I watched Griffey hold court, right? He had his big trunk. I sat on it. His whole big trunk of all these mementos he had, I accidentally sat on it. It's like, dude, you don't sit on, like, that's my history. He's a historian. He's fascinating. He's all of these things, right? I kind of was witness to all of that. Now, the danger in the, you know, the horrible way that ended with him having to drive off because he was still a player, even though he couldn't play, that was a bad deal.
Aren't you glad this isn't ending that way? That's why I don't understand some of the animosity here.
But just cut off 2019. Just cut off 2019. Just don't even bring 2019 into it then. Just say it's done.
Not bringing 2019, and no. They're bringing up the idea of in Japan him maybe being on an expanded roster.
But Ichiro is also not letting that go. Like, well, I'm going to keep learning about the game, and I'm going to keep, you know, preparing myself, and I'm
going
to see if I can continue.
He's not ready to let
it go. If you can find ways to make this all palatable, that's what I think they're doing. The Mariners at the end. This is what my real question about the whole thing is: what would have happened if Ben Gamble hadn't gotten hurt? Because Ichiro was none of this would have happened if Ben Gamble hadn't gotten hurt. So he ends up tearing his oblique. They've got no depth in the organization in the outfield. Neuenheis and the rest of these guys are all hurt also. And so they say, all right, fine. Let's bring in Ichiro in a one-year deal. I think we can make a pretty good movie script on how that conversation went. Ichiro, we're going to bring you back. Okay. We'd like to give you a one-year deal, but I got to be honest, we don't know whether you're going to make it the whole year because, A, you're old, and, B, Ben Gamble's going to be coming back, and we've already got four outfielders we like. So we're going to give you a month. Gamble's not going to be back until May 15th. We'll keep you on the roster for sure until May 1st, okay? You good with that? Yeah. Now, what happens on May 1st? Are you going to DFA Ichiro? You're just going to cut one of the greatest players in the history of the organization and end it again that way? You're not going to be able to trade him. So what's going to happen at that point? Nobody else wants him. Everyone else in the league has said, we're good. Nope. They passed on Ichiro during the year. We think he's done. So you you happen to have a need in the outfield. Okay, fine. They must have worked out something along the way in terms of how this thing was going to end, right? Now, I don't think they specifically had this in mind. I don't think this idea in particular, I don't think this happened until they saw the way he behaved here this year. Because the Ichiro that left here in 2000, what year was that? 11, 12, whatever year it was? That Ichiro was not this guy.
Nope.
That guy was selfish. That guy was obnoxious. That guy was egotistical. That guy was a problem for every manager he played for. That was a completely different human being by all accounts than the guy who came here this year and seems to have finally understood what it means to be a veteran presence on a baseball team. This guy seems to be wonderful for
So these
chemistry.
4 weeks won him over to the point that they're going to find and broker a deal to keep him around, keep him in uniform, keep him having batting practice and stretching and doing everything, and just not in the clubhouse playing.
I think baseball's got lots of these guys. They've got assistant pitching coaches and extra batting coaches, and they're just good dudes. Lloyd McClendon had his buddies hang out with him on the road every year.
But they don't have a lot of these guys that are going to come back and like kind of play again next year.
Right. The next year thing is a little different.
The desire and his desire.
But again, if he's playing in a couple of exhibition games, who cares?
Okay.
That doesn't bother me. Now, if he's on the roster and he ends up taking meaningful at-bats for them a year after playing last, then we'll have the conversation then.
Not plurality.
What if they like let Edgar play in a couple Cactus Leagues?
Kyle, if he plays in a real baseball game next year that counts towards their record, I will be right there with you saying, I don't think this is a good idea. Yep. Not whether he's on the roster, but if he actually takes an at-bat or does anything that matters in an actual baseball game, I will be right there with you saying, I'm not sure that this is a good idea.
And you know what else? So it's going to be very interesting for the next 130 games to see how this goes. You're talking about an unbelievable transition, right? And this is a little baby step. You're not going to get to playing games, but you're still doing everything else. But you're talking
basically what he's done for the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's barely played.
It's true. I mean, he's barely played.
But he's had the opportunity to play every one of those games, and he was kept around, right, because of all the right-handers and everything else. I mean, this will be a very unique place psychologically for him as well. For a guy that this is it, man. This is his whole identity. He has nothing else but baseball for the, you know, for 44 years, and certainly the last 25 as a professional. Yeah. It'll be fascinating.
So do you like Edgar, the hitting coach?
Yeah.
So that doesn't bother you, but this
is a hitting coach.
And Ichiro's a stretching coach. What's the difference?
Role.
So he's a stretching coach.
And Edgar didn't do this while playing and on the
Ichiro's
roster
not
for,
playing anymore.
On the roster for the first month
he's
of the season.
He's a stretching coach.
Edgar got away from it for years.
Ex-players play these roles all the time.
Never like this.
So bizarre.
Ever,
Mike, you're defending
like
the idea.
So you're mad at them for being creative and inventing a new role for an ex-player who's a Hall of Famer?
I'm not.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
To be
mad.
Continued at 9 a.m.
All right, we'll
Brock
keep
doesn't
this going.
Get angry.
We got some other things we've got to do. At 9 o'clock, we'll get back to it, and you guys can jump in. 206-421-3776. You're a little mad.
I'm not mad.
That's okay to admit it. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. It's Brock and Salk with our next up draft profile on Shaquem Griffin. What kind of player will he be? You've heard some of it from Scott Frost. Brock will have some definitive answers next on Brock and Salk. 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Puyallup. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Puyallup is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Puyallup has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970.
All right, we'll get back to that Ichiro conversation here at 9 o'clock. What do you think? Brock is more animated and upset about this than I'm used to seeing.
Stop.
More upset about this than normal. That's one of the biggest fights we've had in years.
Blood pressure didn't move at all. Totally fine.
That is such a lie.
Totally.
Don't you lie to the people.
Brock.
What's that, Kyle?
Your blood pressure wasn't going.
No.
What?
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
I'm calm, cool, collected,
you
baby.
Liars.
It's what I am.
When Brock gets mad, he'll just say, yep. Yep.
That's true. But that's when Brock's gotten so mad that he like brings it back down because he doesn't want to let anybody see his emotion.
That's Huskies and NCAA. That's right. The only thing that leads to
that's
that.
That's your Pacific Northwest. Like, oh, well, I can't let anybody see that I'm angry. I better bring this down and pretend that I'm not and just get sort of snippy. This isn't that. This is like
because
just
I'm not angry about it. I'm not angry about
it. I don't mean you're like screaming.
All right. No.
You're just upset about it. You don't agree and you don't think. It's okay to admit to being upset.
It's
okay. Nothing will happen. What'd you say?
I am very calm.
All right. Oh, that's me. Hey, that's what I said.
Yes.
What are you talking about, Zolt? Let's hear about today's draft profile.
Stop telling me how I feel.
Stop lying about how you feel.
Stop trying to tell me how I feel.
Stop lying and pretending you don't feel the way you do. It's okay to be upset.
Dude, I am
will happen to you.
I am as excited about Ichiro in a player, coach, researcher role as I am. Shaquem is about being a Seahawk. He landed at the airport. This is pretty cool yesterday. Shaquem Griffin, by the way, is our player, review?
Profile
as we move forward.
Draft pick profile.
No longer worried about whether the Seahawks are going to get this guy. They got him. They got him at the start of that fifth round. And Shaquem yesterday, really since, I guess, Saturday, his first messaging the Seahawks put out there yesterday as he landed in Seattle. He had a message to all you 12s.
Hey, what's up, Seattle? Shaquem Griffin here checking in. Man, I can't wait to get here and see you guys. Man, I'm so excited to see y'all. You know, we're here for rookie mini camp. Got to go to work. But just know when I get there, I'm going to turn up with you too. Can't wait to see y'all. Go 12.
Yeah, he's going to turn up because Scott Frost said fastest linebacker in 20-something years. At 6 foot, 227 pounds, ran the 4.38, and I will believe he was 4.38 because I saw it transposed with everybody else that ran near that time, and he's right there. And when Scott Frost tells you the kind of athlete he was, you know, Salk, you ask a good question. Because George O'Leary, his head coach that brought him to UCF, and by the way, brought him only because he was a package deal with his brother. He wanted Shaquille, who could have gone anywhere. And Shaquille said, nope, I want my brother with me. So I will go to UCF. And George O'Leary buried him. Scott Frost didn't take him long to look at him athletically and realize this guy is unique. And, well, Scott Frost, who is also a great track athlete, spoke to us as to, you know, put in perspective just how elite an athlete Shaquem is.
Well, first and foremost, when you see him move athletically, he's an absolute freak athlete. Now, you're talking about a kid that was a 24-10 long jumper in high school. You know, that that mark actually impressed me because that's the Nebraska State high school record that's held by Gale Sayers. So that's the kind of athlete that he is.
It was actually a little over 8 yards. So if it's 4th and 8, Salk, you can actually get 4th and 8 in a football, nearly 25-foot long jumper, nearly 25-foot long jumper at 6 foot and now nearly 230 pounds. As for how they're going to use Shaquem, that'll be the next most fascinating thing. There's no more doubt or fear or anxiety of whether or not he is going to be a Seahawk. He is here for the next 4+ years. But how is he used? Coach Carroll asked about that on draft day. I think this mini camp, you know, we'll see if it will solidify those feelings or create even more opportunities. But as of draft night, here was the coach on how you'll see number 49.
We're going to play him at the weak linebacker spot and see how that works out and get a chance to run and chase the football, which is really adept at doing. We're going to count him to be a big factor in special teams, which he's shown us that he has a great knack for. We're going to try to put him in spots where we can utilize the great speed that he has. I mean, he's as fast as you can get as a linebacker. I don't think it's going to throw us off that he's that fast, but we're anxious to see how it works and how it fits in with him chasing football and all.
And Scott Frost went further. It's pretty cool. And told us the play that he shows every scout that came in that building. That play in practice when he's on, you know, on scout team defense. Running the screen pass. And not only does he shut it down, then he runs the guy down one sideline. Then the screen gets thrown back over his head. He runs all the way the other way down the field, 30 yards, strips the football. Really epitomizing everything he can do. There's no question about his playmaking and his speed. Mike, the question is, when you evaluate it, the only area where he was league average, college average, was his ability to tackle. John Schneider addressed that as well post-draft.
He doesn't miss any more tackles than the average, the linebackers in this draft. He's right in the middle, and the rest of his stuff is just off the charts. All the boxes checked.
But that will be the one area that I think other NFL folks who took him off the draft board, that's the one area that they're going to point to. I'm sure there was great debate even in this building, Mike, about, hey, can he tackle not the American Conference running backs? Can he tackle the Gale Sayers, the Barry Sanders, the Walter Paytons, the elite guys in this league? And by the way, they added more elite running backs into this league. Can he do it on a consistent basis? Shaquem says, really? You going to doubt me? Are you going to think I can't do it? He had a message for everybody that does doubt his ability to translate to the NFL level.
For everybody who's pitting in front of me, for everybody who doubted me, they're going to really feel who I am. And I'm not going to let no price or no pick define who I am. But they will know who Shaq Griffin is. They're going to know who both of us is. And I promise you that.
And when Kurt Manafi and I are calling the preseason games, Mike, that's where you're going to get to unleash it. That's where all the evaluation's going to be. We know they don't hit here. We know they don't wrap up and they don't tackle, or at least in years past, they have not done much of that as a team. Will be one of my questions for Pete moving it forward here when Pete joins us in an hour. But that will be the preseason. You know, his ability to tackle, his ability to play with the ones in the preseason, see how he fits and where he slides, his ability in pass rush drills. Your and I's favorite part of this practice and training camp is watching the one-on-one pass rush drills. And he is going to be a nightmare in a helmet with no pads on for these guys. I can promise you that in these OTAs and into training camp. How all that translates is going to be a story that we will watch, that the nation will watch, and as you said to Scott Frost, the international community will be watching.
That's a great story, man, and I think you're right, and Scott's right, that this will end up being more than just a great story. It's what it'll do for this team inside the building, but also what it'll do for them on the football field, and I think that's the great part of it. So there you go. That's Shaquem Griffin. He's the next up as Brock goes through each of the Seahawks draft picks every day at 8:30. We'll finish those up next week with the rest of the fifth rounders and a couple of sevenths thrown in there as well. Yeah, I'm psyched. We're talking to Pete Carroll coming up here in a little less than an hour, 9:30. Pete will sit down with us. That's why we're over here at Seahawks facility today. And yeah, that's a big part of this conversation is what are you trying to get back to?
Yes. And you know what else is really cool? This is the first time, and I'm going to come back here and watch it in the afternoon. And I know Bob Groz and Tom will be down here in the afternoon, guys, I can't wait to hear the new voices. Not the new voices of just the rookies. The new voice of Ken Norton back here is a D coordinator. The new voice of Mike Solari. The new voice of Schotty. We haven't even gotten a chance to talk to Brian Schottenheimer.
And if you remember, you go back to our poll from earlier in the week, those are the moves that most of you guys seem to think are the biggest for them this year.
Yep.
That bringing in the changes in the two coordinators and the offensive line coach, those are the moves you guys think are going to have the biggest effect on the team this year. So looking forward to hearing from them and seeing their vision for what they want to see with this team. All right. Brock, in 15 15, 20 minutes or so, see if we can get back to the phone lines. Kind of the way our schedule works sometimes in the morning. We can't just keep going with it. But at 9 o'clock, we'll have a pretty good chunk of time for you guys to weigh in on Ichiro. And if you want to keep yelling at Brock, I'm all for that. It's not something we see very often. Personally, I'm just going to sit here and watch all these highlight reels between Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, Barry Sanders, Ichiro. Randy Moss. There's a lot of pretty good ones out there in terms of the best of the best. While we do it, we'll get ready for a little good news, bad news, no news next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Meritage Distilling's BSB Lounge at the ballpark. When you hear the side is retired, we're referring to those old guys taking shots of BSB at the side of the bar.
You can't spell baseball without BSB.
Meritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny Dave and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny Dave and Moore. We're kind of charming, very fun. It's every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Yeah, I just watched one of those Walter Payton highlight reels during the break there.
Winner, winner, chicken
dinner.
Winner,
man. Yeah. The raw power combined with the elusiveness. Yeah. I don't know whether the highlight reel is pretty sweet. It's pretty good. Pete Carroll joins us coming up this morning at 9:30. We'll get to some of your calls, talk some more Ichiro here in 15 minutes. Right now, the news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Ichiro is done playing for 2018, but he's expected to play a couple games with the M's in Tokyo next year.
Well, that last part's bad news.
That's not the story, dude. That is such a cheap shot way of giving the story.
Way to go, Cal.
That is quite literally the story.
No, it really quite literally is not.
This is good, bad, and no news all wrapped up into one. It is good news that they found a departure, that they found an exit that we were all concerned about because none of us wanted to see him drive off or fly out and no longer be a part of this deal with Griffey. That was not a good ending. It's no news because, you know what, he's been largely a non-factor on the field this season, and he's going to continue to be a non-factor on the field. You know, I guess some of the bad news is just, for me, some of the optics, and that is it. That is it. This is optics. I understand this is not on the field. This is not baseball. It is just some of the optics of an organization that gets put on blast for hanging on to its past too long, and they're going to get to, I guess, for the next 7 months as player coach or researcher,
not player coach. You guys have to stop lying about
research.
I can't believe how many ways you and Kyle have found to turn this news into something worse than it actually is.
I think I heard
this is good news. The Mariners did a great job of finding an exit strategy for a guy who can't play anymore, but was a good piece that they needed for about a month.
Why are you getting so mad?
Because
you guys are such liars.
Literally, the headline on our
player coach, which he's not.
I walk out
there. And Kyle takes the some other barely relevant part of the story that no one should.
Mike,
about,
it's the headline on
the
our own website, 710sports.com. That's the headline.
But at the end of the day, it's still a headline about potential exhibition games 11 months from now, and it's a hypothetical.
Lydia, did
so
you
how's
play
that bad
cut
news?
This, did you play a cut this morning where Ichiro or his interpreter said player coach? Was there was some...
No, but ESPN.com referred to it as player coach.
Somewhere I heard that. And by the way, I don't appreciate you, Salk. I walk out there, I look for Peppermint Patty, I say, no, I'm not going to have it, it's too early, and I get a couple Seahawk executives that walk in, and they're like, why are you so mad about Ichiro?
Why are you so mad about Ichiro? You and Kyle.
Who's mad?
You and Kyle, both mad.
Last thing on this, they have successfully convinced Mike to defend a stretching coach. His own words. His own words.
I don't know why that would bother you.
Why are
you
mad, bro?
Hey, let's say this year, Cam Chancellor can't play anymore.
Yep.
Okay, he's done. But he's been such a great leader for the team. The Seahawks decide they want to find a way to keep Cam around and be a part of leading this team. You're going to sit here and say it's a bad idea?
And you know what he ain't going to do?
You're going to say it's a bad idea?
You know what he ain't going to do?
Because he doesn't love the game as much as Ichiro?
Oh, please, he ain't going to put a uniform on and go warm up and do everything.
Ichiro's weird. Nobody's saying he's not a weirdo. He's a complete freak show. That's absolutely bizarre that he wants to do that. But why do you hate it? Why don't you care? I just don't get it. What's next?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Shohei Ohtani is expected to be on the mound Sunday at Safeco.
Bad news.
Bad news.
Can't be in the lineup to drill him.
Drill that guy. Just Felix. Who's pitching? Felix? Oh, he can't drill him in that game. I see what
you
mean.
That's
they
got to
find some way to drill him. Is he going to play in any of the other games as a hitter?
Don't know. He's coming back from an ankle.
Hit him
tweak.
Right square in the ankle.
I don't think we will.
Hit him right in the ankle.
Just hit him right in the ankle. Goodbye.
But it is good news. You are vying. I think you're only a half game back now, the Angels and Astros. You're vying for first place in the American League West over 30 games into the season.
Good news. I'm looking forward to seeing Shohei Ohtani pitch. I'm going to be over there, I think, on Sunday to watch it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Supposed to be a good environment at the ballpark this week. I know they're expecting 30s to 40s in terms of thousands of people who will be there. So should be fun. Good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Sorry, I'm distracted by all the cynicism in here. I just can't take it. The Huskies climbed to number 4 in USA Today's post-spring rankings.
They climbed to number what? 4? No news. Nobody's paying attention to this story. This is no news, unfortunately.
Lydia couldn't even read it. You couldn't understand it.
The Pac-12 fans are demanding this be bigger news.
Good news. They're the only hope for the conference.
No news.
Thank you.
Our very own Marty Smith was excited to see an opossum at Churchill Downs.
Down the stretch he comes. The opossum.
He ain't worried. Found him a bush to go hang out in. If I were you, I'd stay there, Mr. Opossum.
And I talked to former Triple Crown winner American Pharoah earlier this morning. He said to me, Marty, I have won on these hallowed grounds, and I believe that opossum has what it takes, Marty.
Give me a Marty cut from our show, please, about the trucks or...
Down the stretch he comes! The opossum!
Good news.
Great news.
I want to hear him get on that fiddle, too. I got no pickup truck, man.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Bruce Arians is joining CBS's number 2 broadcast team.
I'm sorry. That's great news. I can't wait to hear more from Bruce.
What did Mark say?
If I were you, I'd stay there, Mr. Opossum.
So funny.
Bruce Arians to CBS. I don't know, man. I'm sure he'll be good at this, but I'm never going to like Bruce Arians, right? Like, I think I'd actually at this point be mad if I ended up liking him.
I got to be honest. There's a little part of me, like when Witten walks off the field into the Monday night booth making 4.5, and Bruce walks off the sidelines into the number 2 booth. Like, what am I even doing?
Right.
Like, honestly, there's a part of me after 10 years that it's just like, really? Your craft is nothing? It really doesn't matter. Just sling anybody in there. The bigger name just doesn't really even matter. But good for Brucey, I guess. Good news.
What are you doing?
Good for Witten.
You should just quit.
I'm laughing at Marty. That's
they
what
should
I'm
cause
doing.
You to quit.
Yeah.
If ESPN's going to pay Jason Witten $4 million to come do Monday Night Football, you should walk out.
Yeah, we all took pay cuts.
You should walk out. That is absurd.
Yep.
Why would that possibly be worth the money?
I don't know.
What, that's going to do one thing to change ratings for Monday Night Football for more than a game? This is the stupidest thing ESPN's ever done.
Bro, and literally...
Honestly, of everything they've ever done, this is by far the stupidest.
Nice guy. Incredible human being. Like,
who cares?
Unbelievable guy. He's never done it. He's did a demo.
I don't care if he's already great at it. Why would you possibly spend that much money on it?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
No, we all took pay cuts.
Brock, if players start retiring straight out of college football to the booth, then you're in trouble.
Then I'm out.
It's only a matter of time.
But right now, you're okay in college.
Then I am out.
It's only a matter of time. All right. What do you guys think? Brock and I have been fighting about it all day. The Mariners, I think, did a nice thing and a classy move with Ichiro and found a good solution to their problem. Brock, not so sold. Kyle, even less so. What about you guys? 206-421-3776. We'll discuss till 9:30 when we talk to Coach Carroll. It's next on Brock and Salk 710.
They got 200 Holsteins out back making all this for us, y'all.